space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
They travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Turn off the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground.
Yeah! Brown.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Oh, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower at precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Crap. is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Blast off!
Everybody, so Shaziz here, out here at my mad science laboratory. I'm joined by my friend Steve. How you doing there, brother?
How you doing, Steve? I'm sorry.
Steve?
How you doing, Shaziz?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
I've had better days, but things are okay.
Yeah. Well, man, I tell you what, things are going to get better for us. I believe that. You know, We've managed to put together one massive network. I apologize to all the folks out there for the long intros these days, but whenever I start my show, I actually start off a couple hours ahead of time, start getting everything lined out and computers turned on and servers booted up and all that kind of stuff. that's an important thing that we're doing here. All this different information that we're passing around to each other is, to me, it's beneficial. I've been saying this for quite some time now that right now is a good point in history to actually start downloading informations on how-tos and such like that, so that, you know, worst case scenario, we're obviously not doomsdayers or anything like that, but worst case scenario, you always have some information available to you, because you got to think about it like this, you know. Power grid's up today, everything's working fine, you can go to the grocery store, you can get your food and medicine from the drugstore and so on and so forth. But if you look around the world and all the different things that are going on in the world, you see that some folks ain't got it as good as you where you're at right at the moment. And so with that said, they would love to have access to the information and the things that you have, so feel like you're blessed because you truly are. And so I put together, along with a bunch of other wonderful people from different networks out here, and the main networks were hanging out with my friends and stuff like that, would be We Roar Radio, Awake Radio, No Borders Radio, Shazizz Radio, and we got a few more coming online here pretty soon if all goes well. And then we have multiple networks that we're rebroadcasting to, so we're actually bringing some folks together who are of like minds from all over the world. See, to me, it's an amazing thing to be able to talk to all these countries. It's a humbling experience, but I got to keep my eye on the goal, and I hope everybody else keeps their eye on the goal. The ultimate goal is to try to better humanity with what it is we're doing here. Now, you have in front of you a powerful tool. You can use this tool to help spread the message of hope around the world. Just showing up in these chat rooms, you know, and getting together with like-minded individuals out there. I've met some wonderful people during my time of doing alternative energy. Muddy Mudman, he's got his actual flux wind turbine and many other deals that he puts together, and he's got a wonderful show here on Shazizz Radio, and hopefully be rebroadcasting some of these other networks as soon as he gets the encoders all fixed up and all that kind of stuff. But either way, we've got a lot of good show hosts coming online every day, and we're kind of going between networks, and we're sharing hosts, and that's what it's all about. You know, the best thing about this system that we got set up is if they take one of us down, the other one fires up their stuff, and we're back on air again. So they're not going to break our stride as far as that goes. But right now, this is a golden moment in time. I got a real good friend that I've met here recently, Daniel, out there, and I hope he's listening in. He was having a little trouble trying to find the stream or something like that. I'm not sure what was going on with that, but Daniel, if you're out there listening, brother, peace. The button's right up there at the top. And anyway, old Daniel, he's got a few views on electricity like I got, and we're working on a few things and talking about a few things when we get opportunity to. And there's a lot of good individuals out there working on alternative energy. Steve, you're working on an alternative gardening, and you've been sharing that with people for quite some time, and I hope that folks have taken notes, because a lot of what you've got to say is really good stuff. You got anything you want to pitch in on that?
I've been developing ways to grow under artificial light indoors probably for about 2 or 3 years, and it's as simple as getting T5 fluorescent strips and sticking plants underneath it. It's not much more complicated than that. They don't use a lot of energy, and you can bring plants to the stage where you can stick them out into a polytunnel in the winter or a garden in the summer whenever you feel like it.
The thing I like most about your way of growing stuff inside is because, you know, whether you believe in the chemtrail conspiracy or not, you know, you can bring stuff inside your house and, you know, ventilate it right, and you can keep your things growing fresh without any kind of, you know, outside influence as far as that goes. But you know, you never know. You just never know about society, the way things is going, whether there's a doomsday down the road. That's neither here nor there. It's just a matter of having that little extra bit of insurance, you know. And that's why I do the alternative energy that I do.
One of the reasons why I want to do alternative horticulture is because of the whole genetically modified food stuff. You know, to me, it's not whether you can buy it in the shop or not. It's whether you can actually trust what you're buying.
So well, yeah, and that's the thing. You're feeding this stuff, this food from the grocery store to your children out there. And when you feed your children something, you need to know what's actually going in it. Genetically altered stuff, and you know, I know it sounds kind of way out there, but next thing you know, your kid's got 3 ears or 4 eyes. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to make a quick comment to the Anon in the chat there.
Yeah, that's Daniel. I've
got no time or patience for people to pitch up that don't even put their name into the chat and tell everybody how to run their radio show. Sorry, mate. If you think you can do better, sign up to Shoutcast and Weebly and do your own thing. But don't come in and start throwing shapes around about what others are doing because you don't like it.
He's probably just hadn't figured out how to set the name on there. Daniel's a good guy. He's just
Sure he is, but if you want to do your own radio station, then try it and see how easy it is first before you start telling other people how to run theirs.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. You got. There's a lot of work goes into what we're doing here. But anyway, yeah. back on to the deal there, Steve. You know, I was saying when you're feeding your kids stuff, it's good to have good fresh fruit and vegetables that you know aren't genetically altered, or a lot of the chemistry that they use as far as killing off bugs and that kind of stuff. And that's one of the things that I liked about your deal. And you also made me hip to things like aquaponics and hydroponics, where you can grow I especially like the aquaponics, where you can have fish and vegetables grown at the same time. What do you think?
Well, it's basically nature. You look at a riverbank. All along the sides of the riverbanks are always pretty heavy, lush growth. And a lot of that is from the nitrogen that breaks down from fish waste, from the urea from the gills and from their excrement. There's natural bacteria that take it in two stages, from NO2 to NO3 nitrogen. NO3 nitrogen is the basic building blocks that plants use to grow with. So just by looking at the sides of a riverbank, you can see the amount of nutrients available in that water. Now, my background is working in Holland in the horticultural systems and the greenhouses in the fields, working with hydroponics, artificial lighting, and I realised that this can be done on a small scale as well, so you don't need a 2-acre greenhouse to do it. But it comes down to the simple fact that what do you want to put in your body, and do you know what you're putting into your body? So I'm a big promoter of organic and heritage seeds, stuff that hasn't been messed around with, to make sure that it won't be a terminator seed crop. So you can grow it, but it won't produce seeds to save, share, and grow more with. To me, that is just an insult to nature and humankind in general, that somebody will want to patent a plant. Our food should not become a source of revenue for people that don't actually like getting their hands dirty.
Well, the aquaponics thing seems to be a way not to be getting too doggone dirty, so that's, you know, there's no excuse in that point of the deal.
Well, I did set up a little aquaponic system indoors from a 100-litre fish tank with some goldfish in it, and I was able to grow from start to finish tomato plants in it, of all things. But I mean, if you like your salads, if you like lettuce or any sort of vegetable that will, or salads that will grow above the ground, aquaponics are perfect for it. But I wouldn't try things like carrots or beetroot. It's not going to work.
Yeah, well, either way, you know, something's better than nothing. If you have worst case scenarios, and that's you know, my whole deal is to be able to finally one day get everything situated to show everybody how to tap into the energy that is the earth. And electricity is a whole lot different than people have been taught throughout history. And so with that said, guys like Nikola Tesla, who thought outside the box, come up with some really cool stuff that we're actually using today. And so all these different systems, like what you're talking about with growing stuff, food in the house, and aquaponics, and Buddy's wind turbine ideas and the old Stirling engines. There's, it just goes on forever. All these different alternative methods by which to essentially live a lifestyle that you're accustomed to the best you can under the worst circumstances.
I mean, yourself and Muddy are in America. I'm in Ireland. We've also got Coltis and a few others in Australia that are doing some interesting work. Russ from RWG as well.
Yeah,
I mean, all of these lads are putting this stuff together, mostly with bits that are lying around the place. They're not going out buying specific items. They're just taking what exists, stripping out what they need, and rebuilding it into a different purpose. But I've got no time for people coming in trolling, which is this. I'm sorry, but that gets right on my nerves.
Yeah, I understand that 100%. But, you know, here's the thing. RWG, Cultists, Muddy Mudman, myself, and all these different alternative energy guys out here, the key factor in to remember is the guys that we're bringing in here, they're not trying to sell you nothing, you know. They're actually sharing this information, and that's the best time to start gathering up this information.
Let's remember, Shiziz, that a five-minute explanation on a radio station is probably... resulting into hours, work, weeks, even months worth of work in a laboratory or a garden shed even, of people that have sat there, they've trawled through the internet for all of the information that they need, and they've turned it into something real and practical.
Yeah, and...
That 5 minutes isn't 5 minutes of their life, it's probably the culmination of a lot of time and effort.
Well, I know that I've got, at the very least, since I started sharing this message, 10 to 15 years worth of research behind all the stuff that I've done. I don't ever always have the high-tech terminology that people want to hear or whatever. You know, that's all well and good for somebody who is stuck in the box and can't think outside the box, but the average Joe wants to hear the basic simple. It's like this, you know. If you want to teach somebody how to change a starter on a car, you just go out there and show them how to do it, and then they know, you know. Have them help you do it, and so this is why I'm trying to do what it is that I'm doing.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that think that their opinion is more important than others. Unfortunately, that they know how to do something, and if it isn't done the way they like it, then it's not good enough. But if you want that, go to the mainstream. There's plenty of people there that will tell you exactly what to do and how to do it. Whereas I've found that with the alternative, we're saying, this is how we do it. Or this is how I have chosen to do it. Why don't you give it a try? There's nobody ever telling you to do anything. Which is a major... I've noticed there's a major sea change that seems to be going on in the world, with, particularly with broadcasting, is it's gone from the model of, we know best, do it this way, to, we've tried this and it actually works for us, why don't you try it yourself?
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good deal. And there's another key factor to point out here, guys. This is really seriously important. What we've done together here is we've put together a massive network, all right? And we need to keep this going, because this information, you got something that you can share, that you have new discovery, whatever, you can jump right online right now on Shiziz Radio, and you can put that information out there. You know, if, like I said, this, man, there's a lot of people out there trying to sell alternative energy devices. You know, they're trying to make money, trying to make a fortune, and the guys like Muddy and Cultus and RWG and myself and you and so many more are actually giving this information away, because I believe in their heart they believe it's the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't begrudge somebody the opportunity to create something and then sell it to people that don't want to design or build their own systems, because it's not within everybody's ability or mindset to do so.
No, so, and with that said, that's the reason why I'm trying to show people how to use things like old microwave ovens. You know, worst case scenario, you it's not that hard to build a generator. You can build a magnetic generator out of just about any electric motor. And so if worst case scenario and you need to actually build some sort of little mini power source to keep some lights on or some fan or, you know, something cool or whatever, it's not hard to do. You know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, you don't even need electricity. If you think back about in history when people didn't have electricity, they did fine. They figured out ways to keep their food cool. Those are things that you should look into as well. So, you know, electricity...
If you look at places like Australia back in the 1890s, when they first started bringing technology to that particular area, one of the things that they used to do was to use steam beam engines, because they wouldn't have... it was on a similar principle to a water wheel in a mill, except for they'd be pumping water out of a mine and air into it with no electricity at all. And they could do that several hundred feet, maybe 1,000 feet down below the surface of the earth. So there is the potential there for us to use all sorts of technology that aren't reliant on electricity.
Yeah, so with that said, electricity is essentially a luxury. You know, I understand Daniel's frustration as far as what him and I have been talking about, the way that people explain electricity and stuff like that. You know, Daniel's a brilliant individual, and he's done a few videos out there on the deal. Hey, Daniel, if you're listening, type in your YouTube channel to the chat room down there, and we'll pass it along for you. I've got to sit down and watch some of his videos, and he's got some really amazing things going on with his spark gap video especially, and then he's got one that has the oscilloscope in there. But your average Joe doesn't pick up on what I picked up on whenever I saw that, because my mind works mechanically, and whenever I watched, I mean, he's literally getting flame through a spark gap. He's actually starting a fire with a spark gap, and that tells me that there's a whole lot of energy going on right there.
So, well, I didn't invite him to listen, and if somebody's got nothing but smart-ass statements to say, I'd rather they keep them to themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm sick and tired of everybody putting somebody down. I've had enough of it, Shaziz. I've looked at it for the last couple of years, and I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah,
so you've got nothing practical to offer. If you've got no solutions, shut the hell up.
I understand your frustration, brother, but, you know, like I said...
Let's not worry about that anyway. We've got more important things to talk about.
Let's take advantage of this network that we've got going on here, folks. You got a lot of research. Everybody's got a lot of research. Everybody's got a lot of ideas. And we could sit around and argue till we're blue in the face about everything under the sun, but it's counterproductive to throwing the positive pebbles into the pond that's actually going to make a difference in the future. Now, I know a lot of folks out there ain't church-going individuals, and they got their own views on that, but there's one little thing that...
Amen to that.
there's one thing that you can't argue with, you know. When you plant a seed out there, eventually, you know, it's going to grow into something, all right? And if you want to plant a whole bunch of poison ivy around your yard and make everybody's life freaking miserable, you know, you can do that as well. I'm into the view that we need to start planting seeds that are going to bear fruits down the line that are beneficial to humanity. See, this isn't a religious or a political deal here. This is about my children's future and your children's future. And we can either get together and use this technology that we have access to right now. I'm still working on virtual labs. I got that link up on the website, and we'll be able to live stream. Right now, it's a matter of a financial issue that it costs money to do it the best way, and so we're looking at alternative codes by which to live stream video. I want to set it up so that eventually you will be able to literally see live experiments going on in labs and be able to interact with each and every one of these researchers. You might see something while they're doing their live stream and say, hey, brother, put that part over there with that and try that. And then when you do that, you could actually put the piece of the puzzle together. Now, there's been a lot of individuals through all this time that had really good information. They weren't willing to share it with one another. And somebody else could have put a piece of the puzzle in there. We could have had all this stuff solved a long, long time ago. But that ain't the way things work. Right now, things work with greed or whatever. And we have all these networks that have come together. We have these chat rooms. Bring your friends to these chat rooms. Get everybody here and start listening in on things, you know, and start talking and discussing and working these ideas out. But keep in mind, you got to not be sitting there feuding amongst each other, because it's a waste of time.
Well, if you look at the narrative we get in the mainstream most of the time. It's all always about power and authority. Well, I'd like to point out to people that in World War II, the Germans built a lot of bunkers along the French coast, in the Channel Islands, all over the place. And after the war, they went up there with a load of explosives to try and demolish them, and they couldn't. Well, what they could do is to plant Japanese knotweed underneath it, and that thing will tear it apart.
Well, see, there's
something there's something strange and unique that seems to happen when a seed starts to form, because it has the energy to be able to break through concrete.
See,
just from a tiny little seed.
There's an example of nature having a lot of power, brother. Don't ever underestimate nature, people. I mean, he's talking about a seed that has the power to, whenever it's breaking through, literally bust through concrete. Go down and look at most of your plumbing problems. Somehow or another, the roots of trees actually end up being able to force their way through old pipes and stuff. So, you know, with that said, nature's pretty powerful.
Anybody that thinks that they have power, it pales in comparison to nature. I mean, it was a horrific event. But when you had the tsunami, I think it was back in 2004 on Christmas Eve in Asia, that wiped out hundreds of thousands of square kilometres of human habitation and killed hundreds of thousands of people. So, I mean, when these fellas are sitting there with their thumb on that big red button, that pales in comparison to what the planet can do to us.
Oh, exactly.
And if we push it too far, it'll just shrug us off like fleas on a dog's back.
Yep, and I agree with you 100%, brother. Nature will shake us off like a bad set of fleas and go on without us.
Yeah, don't mess with Mother Nature. So the whole HARP thing that was currently being put into effect, we're not really sure what it does, but when they talk about weather modification and we start seeing extreme weather events, you know, two and two make four, not five.
Well, you know, here's the thing. We got, like I said, we got an opportunity right now. We can either fight against nature, or we can work with nature. We could either fight against each other, or we could work with each other. You know, it's a give and take kind of thing. Everybody wants electricity. Everybody wants to be able to keep their food cold. Everybody wants to have food, and we got to ensure that when we do this, it's not under the thumb of the man. You know, you get companies like Monsanto genetically alter your food. Number one, that's going against nature. God knows what nature's going to come back with. You know, it's hard saying. And you talk about like insects becoming immune to some of the chemistry that they're putting out there, and now you get bugs that you know, you just can't get rid of. That's the nature's way of fighting back. What do you think?
Well, I came across some interesting research with horticultural covers that they're putting on polytunnels, where they're actually restricting particular light spectrums in the X-ray, gamma ray, and UV ray spectrums, because they found that a lot of the pests and diseases that appear on plants are activated by particular light spectrums. So instead of filling your polytunnel full of chemicals to stop pests, if you use the right cover in the first place, they never appear.
Yeah, but here's one of the things that I'd kind of like to point out, because it kind of got me the other day. Somebody made me hip to it. I hate flies. Flies get on my nerves because those things are nasty. All right? And I didn't think about it really hard, other than, you know, I wish there was a way I could eradicate every single fly off the planet. But flies have a purpose in nature, you know. They go out there, they kind of clean things up. Otherwise, it'd be pretty stinky around us, you know. And so, even the flies are important. So you go killing off flies, you're going to have a stinky place to live. Or if you kill off bees, the flowers won't get pollinated and all that kind of stuff. So if they are indeed genetically modifying stuff and doing the chemtrailing and all that kind of stuff, if they really are doing that, everyone should be concerned. You know, not just the doomsdayers, everyone. Because no bees equals no flowers. No flowers equals no fruit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, flies are irritating, but my real bugbear is slugs.
Yeah, those are pretty nasty, man. You ever stepped on one of those barefooted? Ugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I used to go out hunting them with a barbecue stick in the middle of the night. It was almost like Apocalypse Now, the 1970s film with Martin Sheen and Marlon Brando, where I've got slugs all skewered up on a barbecue stick hanging from the roof of the polytunnel was a warning to the rest. But slugs have a purpose. They're nature's composters.
Yeah.
They're the ones that... Because slugs travel below the soil as well as above it. Most people don't realise that. And what they'll do is they'll go through the layers of soil and they'll find all the organic matter and eat it, excrete it, and then turn it into something useful for plants. But they do like young shoots as well, so they can be a bit of a terror if you're not on the ball.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that I would say to people if you're gardening, is just to be aware that, you know, you are in a battle with nature. And you can do certain things that will sort of compensate for, you know, what they're trying to eat by what they call companion planting. Companion planting isn't just about, you know, things like planting marigolds with carrots, because carrot fly doesn't like the smell of marigold. You're actually planting things for bugs to eat, so they don't eat the crops that you want to grow. And that's usually natural wildflowers, weeds, that sort of stuff. So you leave an area where they're going to be attracted to for their primary food source rather than what you want to eat.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm about to mention that to my wife. You got any ideas for, like, them squash bugs?
I'm not familiar with them. You have a different sort of range of bugs, pests, and insects in your geographical location.
These things will go around and they'll eat the roots to your squash plants and stuff. And they lay their eggs, and the eggs, the little larvae get down there and eat the roots to your squash plant, which essentially kills off your squash plant. And it's
I believe there's a guy up in Northern America that grows giant vegetables, and he waters his plants with compost tea. It's basically organic matter that's been aerated for about 24 hours and then poured all over the plants. And he doesn't seem to have much of an issue with bugs and pests, because the plants are healthy. And it's like anything in nature, they'll attack the weakest.
Well, the next garden season, I'm going to try that compost tea, because I think that's a good idea. So anyway, we like I said, we got this massive network going on. We put the tools in place for everybody, and it wasn't just me. It was you, Steve, and you basically made the site what it is today, and you kind of try to keep me in line, keep me from cluttering it up, which is appreciated. But either way, we got this network now. We got we got Shaziz Radio, we got No Borders Radio, we got Awake Radio, and We Roar, and all the other networks as well. And what I need to see is I need to see everybody start using this, man. I want to see everybody go out there, bring your friends, get your friends in the chat room, and tell them what it is that we're doing, and let's start sharing this information. I've got a few things in line. I need to get back to my research and get some videos going out. We did the Shout It From a Mountain thing, and trying to do all this research and watching the world's current events, it can take a toll on you. And so that's why I wanted to do that Shout It From the Mountain deal, because I keep saying this. We got people coming from all different countries. We got people from Australia, people from Canada, Ireland, and just everywhere. And this is an amazing time, because now we got the combined knowledge of the world that we have access to, and we can help one another out with. There's a lot of different theories out there as far as new ideas, not old written in stone so-called laws of physics that everybody feels like they got to stick to, and that's it. You know, we're outside the box, and the way that we're going to find the answers to the alternative energy, free energy devices and stuff of the world is for people to start, you know, before you deny it, try it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that want to poo-poo and shut things down because it doesn't fit with what they've been taught as fact and reality. But my concept of reality is we are the arbiters of our own reality.
Well, I pretty much agree.
If we believe something enough, we'll find a way to make it work.
I agree. And, you know, with that said, look, nature will teach you how nature works. I mean, all you got to do is pay attention. You know, you said so yourself. You want to get rid of some rocks, put those particular seeds under there, and they'll bust them up for you.
Well, maybe not quite as simply as that, but just if you take something like an acorn. An acorn is tiny. I mean, what is it? Maybe half an inch across by half an inch across. So a small little seed that will grow into a 400-foot oak tree if given the space.
Yeah.
Well, no, maybe, sorry, 200-foot. I'm overestimating there. But, I mean, you get this giant tree that lives for hundreds of years from a tiny little acorn. If that isn't the power of nature, then what is?
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I'm telling you what. You know, here's the thing. I keep telling everybody because they're so worried about the planet. We need to be worried about one another, and we need to be worried about trying not to pollute our own environments. But at the end of the day, using Coltus's phrase, we're not in charge. Nature's in charge. If you don't use it, nature will take it back. Try not mowing your lawn for a couple weeks and then a couple months and then a couple years and see if you ain't living in the middle of a jungle and have a few uninvited house guests and such. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. If we don't use it, nature takes it back. So nature's got that under control. Now what we need to do is get ourselves under control. Kind of like that phrase you put on the banner up there. You remember what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, only nature needs improvement. Nature needs no improvement.
Yes.
It's only the arrogance of man.
Exactly. But, you know, those are just little things to think about. I mean, we got the opportunity, people. And we don't take it, and all heck breaks loose, and you're sitting there, and you ain't got no lights, you ain't got nobody to blame but yourself, because we've been pointing it out. You know, you can make electric generators out of junk. You know, Muddy's actual flux wind turbine's made out of a couple brake discs and some magnets and some coils of wire. And so, watch his video. You can build one yourself. You know, if you can't build one, I'm sure that you can work an arrangement out. Muddy will build it for you, and you just pay for the materials and maybe for his time or something like that. Pitch in some donation for him to keep his YouTube channel going on. You know, he's a good man. He's a doggone good man. I'm telling you, you couldn't ask for a better friend than the ones that we've been coming together here with. Steve, you've been...
Some awesome people that have joined the group, Chizzes. I have to say that. There's some really balanced, well-intended individuals that have seen a way to do things and have taken it upon themselves to get out there and share it with people. And not for a cost, but for the pure fact that they can see that this is important. I mean, you look at the average household, you have a washing machine, you have a dishwasher. You have an immersion tank, if that's the system you're using, to heat water. Well, what about having a 1,000 watt inverter to take 12 volts to boost it up to 240 volts? I would have thought that would be an important piece of equipment to have in a home, because if your mains power goes off, that inverter can be hooked up to an alternative power supply and run your fridge and your washing machine when the power goes off. So at least some semblance of normal life can carry on in a crisis. Somebody said to me, but if the lights go out, you'll be the only guy in the street with the lights on. And I said, but I don't want to be the only guy in the street with the lights on. I want to be the guy that can show everybody else that they didn't need it in the first place.
Well, yeah, there you go. Like I said, the Amish communities out there, that's pretty amazing if you think about their lifestyle, you know. They've been like out of mainstream for the longest time, and some of their refrigerator deal system that they got going on, they got ice. They'll go out during the wintertime, they'll get ice, and they probably got ice that's been in there for multiple generations and are able to keep things cool, and they're not using electricity to do it.
I think it was quite common for the Native Americans to have caves where they'd store food and produce, and that's going back thousands and thousands of years. So, I mean, the people have known that being able to keep food below a certain temperature preserves it for a long period of time, and the Amish are just working on the back of that technology.
Well, there you go. Even the Indians figured out ways to preserve food and stuff like that. So
there was a recent excavation down in Cork of a shopping centre, and they actually found a bell-shaped chamber below the earth that was used as a food store. So they used to take ice down there in the winter. That would last most of the year round. And by the time it came up to the point of storing all the summer crops, things like apples, potatoes, root vegetables, they could get a bit more ice, throw it down there, and eat throughout the winter. Now, I'm not saying that people want to dig a 20-foot deep hole in their back garden and then reline it with bricks to make a bell chamber for storage. But there are technologies there that we can implement that don't require electricity.
Well, you know what? Kind of got distracted by something that's said in the chat room there.
I'm not even listening, mate. I'm not even watching. I'm not a patient, sorry.
Yeah, me neither. But anyway, guys, like I said, we're talking right now to a lot of people, and a lot of people need the information out there, and the only people who can actually use that information are the people that, you know, they got to do it themselves. I can't come to everybody's house and show them how to build a generator. That's why I put my videos out there.
Well, you don't even need to go to someone's house to show them how to build a generator, because they could perhaps buy a slightly smaller car and buy a generator.
Well, yeah.
Because that's what I did. I've got a 2.5 kilowatt petrol generator in my garden shed for emergencies.
Yeah,
and then I drive around in an 8-9-year-old van instead.
Then if you're worried about whether or not you're going to be able to fuel that generator, there's also...
I'm working on hydrogen systems to be able to extend the tank range of it from, say, 12 hours on a full tank to 18 hours by introducing hydrogen into the carburetor. And I've done that in limited success, but I've still a way to go before I get it perfectly functioning.
Yeah, and then there's also wood gas technology as well. I mean, you know, look it up. Back in, I think it was World War II, they used to use wood gas to run their trucks whenever fuel was starting to get. So, you know, there's so many different methods out there. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking for it. That's all there is to it.
Ideally, what we'd have is everybody, or at least one person in every community, would have the knowledge to take off of the shelf oil, such as vegetable oil, olive oil, rapeseed oil, whatever's about, denaturize it and use it as a biofuel constituent.
Well, yeah.
I see that as being really important, because it's not that difficult. You take, say, stuff like industrial hemp. When they take the oil from hemp, they add a lye mixture to it to denaturize it, and then after a certain amount of processing, it can be run through a diesel engine.
Wasn't it in Europe where they were actually taking the old plastic bottles and turning them into petrol?
Yeah. I mean, there was a guy called Daniel Agrati that was doing an experiment in the 1970s in Italy, where he was taking all of the old petrochemical stuff, things like oils, tires, breaking it all down and trying to turn it into hydrocarbons that could be used as fuel. But it was sort of pretty sabotaged by the Italian government at the time, because they classified all of these fuels as a waste product.
Huh.
So they refused to let him sell it. So this huge stockpile of all this toxic stuff that could have been broken down into oils which could be reconstituted into fuels. And then they said, oh, well, we're going to have to spend millions clearing it up, because they wouldn't actually let him sell it.
Yeah, see, that's another thing, part of the red tape that the government's put out there. You come up with a good idea, they try to figure out some way to regulate it, and that ought to be proof positive that the representation that we the people get from our supposed elected officials is about as worthless as the paper it's written on. It's just, there's so many different things out there that we could be doing better that aren't getting done. And it's gonna take us to not ask for permission, just to implement it. What do you think?
I think that's the way to go. If you ask somebody for permission to do something, they can say no. But if you have a responsibility to yourself and your family, why would you be going to a third party for asking for permission to actually stand up to that responsibility? And that seems to be what's happening.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody's under the impression that they're going to get in trouble if they do something, you know. And so
one example of that is we've got this thing, guerrilla gardening. You grow plants to the point where they can be planted outside, and then you go up to the woods and you plant things like pumpkins. Just very, very simple. Wild garlic, wild onions. Just plant them in the woods and leave them go.
Yeah, and that way if somebody's stumbling along looking for some food or something like that, I mean, do it. And, you know, when Dublin talked about guerrilla charity, I love that idea so much, because it's essentially, instead of asking people for permission to feed the homeless, you just do it, man. You just do it.
One of the things that I used to do when I lived in Dublin is, if you go out the office and you're going to get a sandwich for your lunch, and you walk past a homeless person, don't buy one sandwich, buy two, and give them one on the way back.
Well, that's a good idea. That's a doggone good idea.
What was it, a couple of bucks for a sandwich? You do it once a week. That's put somebody else in the mind that's at the bottom of the rungs of society, by most people's estimation, into the knowledge that there are people out there that care. And we can't solve homeless people's problems for most of the time, because a lot of them are personal problems which they don't want to discuss with people. But is it so bad to make sure that somebody has something to eat?
I don't think it's bad at all. As a matter of fact, I believe it's the right thing to do. You know, there's just, to me, we sit here, we talk about all the common sense ideas, the solutions out there, but it's going to take we the people to implement these solutions. You know, the government's not going to do it, and if you ask them permission, more than likely going to tell you, no, don't, you can't do it because of this or whatever. You know, like collecting rainwater, for Pete's sake, man. Nature gives you rainwater, and then the government wants to regulate the rainwater. The government wants to regulate the carbon, you know, that you breathe out your mouth. And so, you know, it's just, everything that nature gives you, the government wants to take it away. So, something's wrong with that.
Isn't one of the fundamental tenets of Christianity to be charity?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, isn't charity illegal in America now?
It seems like it is.
We have to start thinking about who's representing who there.
We've seen individuals get arrested for trying to feed the homeless because, under the supposed protection of their Health and Food Safety Act and all that kind of stuff, they were afraid somebody might get sick or whatever.
So you can't feed homeless people because you might give them food poisoning?
Yeah. So, what are they going to die from faster, the food poisoning or starvation?
I know people in Portugal that have turned the courtyard of their office building into an allotment, and they grow food to give to the local homeless shelter. But they've done it on the basis of everything has to be organic and sustainable. So the potential and opportunities for plants to become diseased and unfit through the use of chemicals, which is common, and then being introduced into the human food system, is negligible, if none at all. It's only when they start trying to force crops to do what nature doesn't want them to do that we start having issues with illnesses and bacteria in plants. The same with meat. If you have to pump a load of chemicals into a cow to make it produce 10 times the amount of milk, then what is the quality of the milk that it's going to be producing? And it's all derived against profits. There was an article in an Irish newspaper last year where they produced 60,000 tons more milk than the European quota allowed. So they pulled it down the drain, and they paid them €15 million fine for it. Which in my mind is bonkers. If you've got 60,000 tons of milk, there is no child in this country that shouldn't have bought the milk every day at school.
Well, that's exactly right, man. And
you're going to throw all this stuff down the drain.
Well, that's it. There's so much freaking waste and fraud and stupid stuff and red tape to go through. It's amazing the average Joe can even survive. You know, it's no wonder everybody's all frustrated and everything. We have the alternative energy answers. We got the answers to every damn alternative energy question ever asked. We've got the answers to every food question ever asked. We the people have the answers. That's time for us to just do it. You know, we got the platform now. Bring these people here. Let's get to work. Let's get this thing on the road, because I for one, I'm tired of waiting around to see this world get on the right track. You know, on the path that we're on right now, it's not a good path. We're heading down a road to sure destruction. World War III can't be good. You know what I'm saying?
Well, everything that you come up with, every idea that you think of, there's always little improvements that you can make to it, little tweaks that will make it run better and more efficiently. And saying that, one of the things that I did with my little grow box is I was thinking, okay, so I can grow plants and then plant them outside. What if I can't plant them outside? So I started looking at various techniques that are used in horticulture, called what, there's two main ways, is a sea of green and a screen of green. And the idea is once your plants start growing up, you put a lattice work across the top of them, and then train them to grow horizontally instead of vertically, because that saves you a lot of space. And that means that you can take a tomato plant, which is actually a vine plant anyway, and run it across a vertical screen, so every single part of the plant that's under a lighting system is at the same level. That saves you a lot of space, and it actually provides you with a lot more abundance in the long run. And I'm actually working on an experiment at the minute to implement an automated gravity-fed water system. So this whole box unit that I'm developing could potentially be used by somebody even in a wheelchair.
Well, you know, and that's it, man. The answers are there. And so where do we go to from here, Steve? Do we keep bickering amongst one another about who's who and what's what, or do we actually get together and do something positive? And that's what we're about here on Shaziz Radio Network and Awake Radio and No Borders Radio. That's about we're about talking about getting together and actually doing these things. I'm looking forward to the virtual labs thing getting up and running. Right now, like I said, it's a financial issue. Everybody out there who has all the cool tools want to sell you the rights to use them, and that's what makes things hard. So if anybody out there knows how to code up a deal to tap into some webcams and send it to the website and stuff like that, that's what we need.
I've got some programming skills, Shaziz, and I can throw together a basic website. But it's actually the scripting behind it that we really do need help for. I mean, what would be ideal is if somebody has an application or a piece of software that they know of that's freeware, or perhaps maybe even developed themselves, that can give you control of webcams and be able to display them individually in different parts of a website. I mean, that would be really appreciated if there's somebody out there that knows how to do that, that can help us with it.
Yeah, if we could get that, we could solve a big problem. The technology's there. I mean, we can do it through Skype, and I even thought about, worst case scenario, we use Skype to do it. But the problem is, there again, you got a financial issue, because in order for you to have a big old meeting of a lot of people, you have to have the Pro Edition version, which also costs as well. So we're looking for some coding that we can put on there on our existing sites that can be, viewed without having to have some sort of payment every month or whatever like that, because Shaziz Radio is all financed right at the moment by myself, all right? No Borders, I'm sure, the same. They fund their own stuff, and Awake Radio, they fund their own stuff. If you can go to any one of those networks and you can help them improve their network by pitching a penny at them or whatever, then that would be good. But you don't hear none of us talking about it, other than the fact that this is what slows us down, is the financial issue of it. I'm going to do it however I can do it, even if it takes me just putting pictures up for the moment and videos up on YouTube and using all the platforms that are available. Sometimes I have to use other people's platforms for people to call in. You can call in live on Skype. We've said that through every show we've had. You can call in live to the show if there's something you want to talk about. Add me or Steve or one of the hosts onto your contacts deal. And if you hear a show and you got some ideas to share, call in live. That's what it's all about. It's about sharing that information. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, when I grew up, we had this program on the BBC called Blue Peter. And what they'd do is they'd show you how to make useless junk out of sticky-backed plastic and toilet rolls. And what we're talking about with the virtual labs is to have a mad science version of Blue Peter, where you have somebody that's presenting an idea and will take you through it step by step with an explanation of each part as you go through. But to be able to do that in a live environment where people can actually see what they're doing and communicate directly by voice, text, or even have their own webcam on, so whoever's putting it together can see their project too.
Yeah,
you know. So we build together as a community. It's not about, oh, I'm in charge. I mean, somebody that's building one of these devices might have some brainstorm, some inspiration, or, you know, a muse has shot an arrow of ideas into them, and they said, oh, but we can do it this way too.
Yeah,
and
so
that's what it's about. It's about us all working together. Nobody has the final answer. Nobody has the solution.
So with that said, if we got virtual labs up and running, then that means I can look in on Russ's work while he's working. I might see something that he missed or whatever, and vice versa. You know, they can look in on mine to see if I'm missing something. And we can get a lot of things accomplished that way. Not everybody can afford to fly. I wish we could bring all these brilliant minds into the same lab at the same time and get something done, but not everybody can afford to travel that far. And so with that said, virtual lab is the best deal because they don't even have to leave their own lab, and they can be comfortable in their own lab, and they can share their ideas via the virtual lab. And to me, I think it's really worthy cause to bring this together.
Well, sure is. If you had yourself, Coltus, Muddy, Kent, and all the other guys out there fiddling around with stuff, all in the same place, in the same location for a month, with a workshop where you can make and manufacture whatever you need, and you've got most of the basic resources to put stuff together, what do you reckon you'd achieve in a month?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, brother. There's nothing we couldn't achieve, because it's like this. A house doesn't get built without a carpenter. It doesn't get built without an electrician or a plumber. You put all these guys together, they can build a house. You know,
the problem is one person will rarely ever have the proficiency of all of those skill sets.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. You know, you can't build a carpenter couldn't go build a house by himself. He might be able to build the house. He might even be able to get some of the plumbing done and some of the electrical, because he's an intelligent individual. But to get it up to code, or to even get it to where it's be as good as if all these people came together to do it, is nearly impossible. One man can't do it all.
Well, I mean, that's selling a dream, really. It's saying, we all get together, we're going to solve all the problems of the world. But a lot of those problems have already been solved. Look at your redneck generator.
Yeah, well, you know...
What's that? That's a lawnmower engine hooked up to an inverter and a car battery.
And it works.
Yeah, and what it does is it gives you a portable power supply. Because, I mean, you were saying, you can stick it on the back of your truck. If you go out in the winter and someone's broken down, it's perfect for jump-starting a car.
Oh, it's great, because you'll charge a battery up in a hurry with that thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, not only are you jump-starting your car... You're putting a pretty decent charge on it as well to keep them on the way so they won't break down again.
Yep.
It's not just a stopgap, it's a much better solution.
And so the solutions are there, you know. There are actual physical working devices that you can use to supplement until we do find the holy grail of energy.
Muddy Mudman is wind turbine, is a flux generator. I mean, it's considerably more efficient than most of the wind turbines that are sold on the common, like the mainstream market. So again, there is another solution that somebody's come up with. They've made it a lot more efficient. And Muddy will tell you how to build your own.
Now, I guarantee you that one that Muddy built will last a whole heck of a lot longer than the ones that you're going to buy from China or anywhere else.
I mean, I've fiddled around and done various experiments with solar panels and charging. And even in the grow box that I've got, I took a load of the solar panels out of garden lights. They power little 1-watt lights. You know, they come on at dark. But if you take each cell off and then line the top of anything underneath a fluorescent strip with these cells, then they output electricity as well.
Well... I have still got my doggone earth battery going on over here. It's sitting at right now about 8.45 volts of electricity right now. And this thing has been plugged in for about well over 2 months now. And so you can get energy right out of the dirt, man.
Looking at this, do you remember some months ago? We were fiddling around with stuff, and I had my multimeter out, and we were checking the energy you can get out of salt by adding salt and lemon juice to it.
Yep.
Well, I've got that jar in front of me, and I've had the lid on for the last couple of months. It's only a small little yogurt pot. But it'd be interesting to see how much energy that's putting out now, a couple of months later. I'm just switching on the multimeter meter now to see what it says. So what we got there? We've got... about 0.15 of a volt.
That's still a half a volt after all that time.
Yeah, and that's probably half the size of a Coke can.
Yeah, you know, the technology's there. A lot of the stuff was being used throughout the history of time, you know, 1800s, and you know, I don't know if you ever did any research on the old Baghdad battery, but that's a pretty interesting deal that somebody would have what would be the equivalence of a chemical battery back then.
Well, I have to say that some of the hieroglyphs dotted around Egypt, there is one particular one where it looks like he's running around with a dirty great big light bulb in his hand.
Yeah, it looks like one of the old Edison light bulbs, man.
And they do talk about there's no scorch marks inside the pyramids from torches.
Yep.
And how the hell did they get light in there? I mean, I'm not buying this idea that they had a set of highly polished copper reflective surfaces beaming light through redirection into the centre of the pyramid so they can see what they're doing. I mean, to a certain extent, yeah, maybe, but it's not going to light up everything you need everywhere you need, because light refraction isn't that good off copper.
Well, the whole thing is, man, there is suppressed technology out there. I've had some people come in and give me a rash all the time when I talk about suppressed technology. And they say, oh, well, what suppressed technology? Well, look at old Stan Meyer's work, you know. Do you hear about that on the mainstream media? It had a couple of short little blurbs on there, and then they did everything under the sun to discredit it, and then Stan Meyer ends up having a heart attack, you know.
The night before his press release.
Yeah. So, you know, you always hear things about people building carburetors that get a couple hundred miles to the gallon and stuff like that, and, you know...
Well, even Muddy's come up with solutions for that. He was telling me about, he was out doing lawns, and he was running out of gas for the lawnmower, petrol. So what he did is he sprayed someone a rag and put the rag in the carburetor, and through evaporation, it was running just as well and a lot less fuel, and he managed to get the job done at the end of the day for it.
Yeah.
So even out in the field, if you know that you're not going to be able to make it through the day with what you've got, is there any harm in trying?
No, I don't see any harm in it at all.
Oh, that would take so much time. That would that wouldn't work. We'll try it and find out. Because you're not going to do the job anyway in certain circumstances.
I've said this before, but it's worth repeating that my father-in-law, he's a farmer. And he was telling me about how back in the old days they used to inject water into the cylinders after they got the cylinders of the tractors up to temperature. They would inject water in to save fuel.
Yeah.
And so it's not like it hasn't been done before. All this is, it's readily available. It's just up to people to do the research and bring it forward, you know?
But there are good ideas coming out in the mainstream as well. A lot of people, oh, mainstream, blah, 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 you'll never find any solutions there. Well, one really important solution that they've come up recently is they've got a small little chip that puts an electrical current through seawater and separates pure water from the saline content.
Well, yeah, they do that in Dubai.
Yeah. But, I mean, they've actually developed a small little chip that is something like, what was the phrase they used? Oh, water desalination just got 99% cheaper. So these technologies, once they're scaled up into a usable format, are not going to cost one-tenth of what they're currently using.
Well,
an island like Ireland, where it's not a very large island and it's got 3,000 miles of the Atlantic on one side, being able to take seawater and use it as drinkable water for humans and crops is a technology that we desperately need.
And did you know that not only are they doing that, but that through every single one of their skyscrapers, they're pumping gallons, thousands of gallons of water through every single one of their skyscrapers, way up to the top, and then using gravity to give everybody water pressure?
Oh, yeah. Well, what they were looking at as well is put turbines into the downside of it.
Yeah.
So the energy expended going up is sort of recovered in some way by the water using gravity to push it back down again.
Well,
you mentioned the weight of that column where this water's stored.
Oh, man.
The pressure that provides.
Well, it's got enough pressure for everybody to be able to use their water spigots and stuff like that, then you know they're on the right. Heck, they built that doggone island out of sand.
Yeah. Well, what was it? Wasn't there a biblical passage about a man that built his house on sand?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's not like the best idea, like kind of like building your house out of sticks or whatever.
You know that Amsterdam is actually a floating city?
Yeah.
The whole thing is built on rafts, because it's on the swamp. I mean, the Dutch are great at building on water and sand, because that's all they've got. In fact, where I lived in Holland used to be the sea.
Well, I'm sure you've heard the phrase that necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Well, that leads us to another wind technology that was extensively used over a couple of hundred year period in Holland. The windmills there were for pumping water out of the land so they could actually drain it and use it for crops. So wherever there's an idea, there's a way to do something.
Well, you know, with that said, what do you say we take a quick break here and come back with some fresh mind and some fresh coffee?
Oh, yeah, that sounds good for me.
All right, cool. We're gonna take a quick break here, folks, and stay tuned. Peace and love, everybody.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Freedom. Law. Education. Health. Free energy. Money. Debt. Awake Radio, deconstructing the dream world, one lie at a time.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you? You know, for a second there, kind of did.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I'm Erica Lost. NATO forces bombed Serbia and Kosovo. An unidentified man is being held for questioning by the FBI for suspected links to last month's biological virus deaths. In local news, a dog named Hero takes the grand prize at the annual... I wish I could tell you more pertinent news. But we're in a rating system here, and the key factor is...
sensationalism.
They've got you running in circles, 9 to 5, then 5 to 9...
You're mine. I tell you what they want you to know, and you consider it the truth. Nobody is opening their eyes. Our global economy is depleting the world of our lives and natural resources. And are you happy? Come on! I work for the system.
Well, if you filled up your gas tank lately, then you don't need us to tell you that gas prices are back on the rise.
You don't need us to tell you that gas prices are back on the rise.
You don't need us to tell you that gas prices are back on the rise.
You don't need us to tell you that gas prices are back on the rise.
You don't need us to tell you gas prices are on the rise. I know.
And the 1209, welcome back in. The final days of the campaign sometimes can get a little salty.
Well, the final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
As you probably noticed, the final days of the campaign have been, well, you might call them just a little salty.
If your email inbox is out of control and you've given up sorting it out, a Baltimore company thinks it has a solution for you. Could this be the end of email overload?
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 Could this be the end to email overload?
Could this be the end of email overload?
Could this be the end of email overload?
And welcome back to the show, Ice Cream, You Scream, You Know the Rest.
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 Ice Cream, You Scream, We All Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, You Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, Well, You Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, You Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, Well, You Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, and You Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, You Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, You Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, and You Know the Rest.
Ice Cream, You Scream, You Know the Rest.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
If you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face.
Tonight, Chewing on Free Trade. Tonight, market down, book sales up.
Tonight, award-winning style.
Here's the latest from the City Post News team.
Good evening. Our top story tonight, pitching free trade to Ontario's agriculture industry. Canada's ambassador to the United States, Ellen Gottlieb, is in town tonight trying to do just that.
Real people connecting with our audience, drawing from an established nationwide network, all under the Quebecor Media banner. Coast to coast, and as Canadian as you are, Sun News Network, hard news, straight talk, coming soon.
CTV National News with Lloyd Robertson. CTV National News with Lisa Leflam.
Thanks for being with us. I'm Sandy Rinaldo. We'll be here tomorrow, and of course, we hope you'll tune in.
Welcome to E-Talk. I'm Ben Mulrooney.
Good evening. I'm Gord Martineau.
Welcome to CBC News Toronto. I'm Anne-Marie Medaway.
And I'm Dwight Drummond.
Stephen D'Souza, CBC News Toronto.
I'm Peter Mansbridge. Thanks for watching.
Have you had enough propaganda from the corporate-controlled media? Break free from the mainstream. Join PressForTruth.tv.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Hello, everybody. We're back. Hey, you was talking about some solar panels off those little garden lights. What's up?
Well, I was thinking about some of the newer technology that's arrived to us, such as 3D printers. Now, one of the ideas that jumped at me straight away with those was it gives us a huge jump on technology. Because currently a lot of what we're doing, we have to use what somebody else has created and repurpose it. But with access to things like 3D printers, we can actually print up formwork and shapes, even for things like the little garden solar panels.
Yeah.
It would be nice if we had some little module that was designed with contacts on it where we could just slot the little plates in.
What's up?
With a 3D printer, you can actually print whatever shape you need to do achieve that.
It's amazing you're talking about those because Larry, he put together a pretty nifty little system using those particular little solar panel cells. He's got a bunch of them wired in, I believe he's got them wired in parallel, and they're actually a lot stronger, you know, voltage-wise and charging-wise as the ones you actually get from the store that are already put together. What he did was he took a bunch of those little solar lights like you're talking about, garden lights, and he took the little panels out and he made his own panel and put it together and charges up some batteries with it. He hooked that to a little inverter, and so he's got a little mini power supply that can be taken anywhere.
Well, not only that, what people have to consider is there's a charging circuit included automatically in all of these solar lights. Because
yeah,
what it's doing effectively is you have a little 1.5-volt battery, rechargeable battery in the system, that charges up to power it through the night. So if you just take the battery out, take the connectors to that for that charging system up to a circuit board that's going to output a much stronger current from a combination of all of those, that wouldn't be too difficult to put together.
No,
you
can
charge your battery with it.
I'm going to have to. Like I said, I got to get back to making some videos because I've been working on the site and everything like that, trying to get all this stuff in place for virtual labs. And so I hadn't put out very many videos since the since the one we did for a shout it from a mountain. I'll get with Larry and we'll do a video on his little solar setup so that you can see what he's accomplished with that one. What do you think?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. I mean, I'm getting more into soldering circuit boards now anyway. So that's one of the things that I'm looking at. Because, I mean, the deal is you'll produce the power and I'll show everybody what to do with it to grow their own food.
Cool. Well, I think this little system that he's got going on would probably be enough power to run those light bulbs that you're talking about.
Well, the designs that I'm working with, what I want is enough solar panels underneath a lighting system to put back a charge into a 14-volt motorcycle battery.
Yeah.
Because that's what I want to be able to use this thing to run on. Now, if I can extend that, if I'm charging this battery with a 13-watt solar panel during the day, when the lights come on at night, you can still recover some of the lost energy.
Well, and, you know, with that said, people is under the impression that you got to spend thousands of dollars on solar equipment, and that's not the case. I mean, you obviously going to have a lot of good power to buy yourself some time, but even with the cheap solar cells and even with these cheap little garden lights, you can build your own systems together that will do what it is that you need them to do. You know, you got to customize it. So it's not going to cost thousands of dollars unless you just, you know, don't know anything about it and you have to go out and hire somebody and take their word that they're going to give you enough energy with their system or whatever. Well, we're showing you how to make it out of junk, man.
Yeah. Well, even down to the point of inside this grow box, I have a reflective material called Mylar. Tinfoil, when light hits it, only about 10% of the light that hits the surface is reflected, but with mylar it's 90% and above. So 90% of the light that hits the surface of this particular material gets reflected back again.
Dude, and I got
that
about,
makes a big difference.
I got about 4 to 7 rolls of that stuff. I wish there were, I could get that over to you, man.
I wouldn't need 4 to 7 rolls of it, but what I'm saying to people is, if you go down to your little hydroponic shop, local place, and say, look, have you got any bits of scrap that you don't need? That's what I did, and they gave me enough to line my box with, so it didn't cost me anything, and they just let it lying around, and it was a burden to them anyway.
Well, you also had mentioned at one point in one of the shows that we did about going there and getting buckets as well, and I need to do a video on my bucket gardening thing, because it worked out pretty well. Essentially, you take a 5-gallon pickle bucket or any bucket out there, and you drill some holes in the bottom of that, and you put your potting soil in there. You can set that in like a pond, or at the very shallow end of the pond, as long as the water is only like up to no more than half the level of the soil. That soil will stay moist, and you don't have to water it. And yeah, it worked out good.
Well, isn't that like I was saying, just sticking it on the riverbank?
Yeah, exactly. But
bucket gardening is a really interesting concept, because most of the fast food places throw their plastic buckets away when it's empty of mayonnaise or oil or whatever they've had in it, and it's all food grade plastics.
Well, and it's also there's also you could also do a cheap version of hydroponics if you got like a little kiddie swimming pool or something like that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And put those buckets down in there, just enough water in there, and put little tiny minnows for the fish. You know, minnows don't need that much water to live in, but you could actually put 3 feet of water in there and wouldn't have to worry about it freezing up in the winter, as long as you kept it aerated and stuff. But and then stack the buckets on like some rocks or something in there to keep them only at a certain level of water, and you got a garden ready-made garden.
Well, I was looking at the whole aquaponics thing, because most of the way they're constructed is you have a very large tray which works in a flood, like a flood and drain mechanism. So it'll fill up to a certain point, and then it'll all drain back into the tank, and it might take another 15 minutes for it to be completely full again.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't have access to large trays, but everybody has access to buckets.
Yeah, buckets are a dime a dozen.
I'm looking at a system of having a flood and drain system that will go through a series of buckets instead of one large tray, because the large trays are quite expensive.
Well, you know, with that said, there's a lot of things out there you can recycle, you can get for free. And so why people don't want to get on doing it for themselves right now, I don't understand, you know.
It comes down to, are you responsible for you, or is somebody else responsible for you, and they should be making stuff for you that you need?
Yeah. We got a lot of possibilities. We got a lot of people out there working on a lot of things, and that's what this network's for. We put the platform in front of you. Now bring your friends here and get this stuff underway, and you know, I'll keep working in my lab, and when I get virtual labs up and running, you can actually see we're real time and talk to me while I'm working on stuff. You might have the answer to whatever problem that I might have. And
well, I'd say to all the people out there that are doing the 9-to-5, that are raising their families the best way they can, part of the reason why I'm doing this is for you, because you haven't got the time to look at all of this stuff. And for somebody to perhaps offer you a solution that you can go off and build on a weekend and then start producing food for your family, that to me would be something that I've achieved that would be worthwhile.
Well, you know,
I'm not fully there yet, but I'm working on it.
You hit a key point, brother. I mean, the research has already been done for the most part for everybody, so, you know, it's a matter of just using it, start implementing it.
Yeah.
You know, if I keep saying this, if there's somebody got a question about something, then, you know, give me a call on Skype or something.
The problem with my experiments, though, is when you're working with plants, it might take 3 months from start to finish. And if you have to do that 5 or 6 times to see what the actual long-term effects of it are, it could be 2.5 years down the road before I'm finished with it.
Well, today, whenever I get an opportunity, hopefully within the next couple of days, I can get a couple of videos up. But I'm going to, most generally, my YouTube channel is about mad science, but I'm going to throw the bucket gardening thing up there just so that people can see what it is that I'm talking about and show them. The only one that I had problem with was corn. When I tried to grow corn, I put too many corn stalks in one, and they become root-bound, and they didn't grow very well. But green beans worked fine, and the little pepper deals worked good, and stuff like that, you know. So you can grow all kinds of small vegetables inside buckets, and, you know, you can take them in and out during the wintertime. Take them in where they're going to be warm, you know, so that they're still good. Put them next to the window, and they'll still get light, and...
Well, the thing is with bucket gardens as well, you don't necessarily need soil.
Well, yeah, you could do it in rocks.
Yeah, I mean, if you're near a beach and there's sand everywhere, or in a really sandy area, there's nothing to stop you using sand, and then maybe collecting and composting seaweed. Because seaweed contains 96% of what most plants need for nutrients anyway.
Well, the good thing about with the bucket gardening, and if you do it next to a pond or on the riverbed like you were talking about, is that you don't have to worry about nutrients, because it's working on the whole aquaponics thing where the fish are actually, making the nutrients for the plant.
Well, plus water pretty much destroys anything it comes in contact with. Water have taken mountains bigger than the Himalaya in Scotland.
Yep.
And reduced it to the little foothills they've got now. I mean, that's one of the claims that they're making from geology through the ages, is the northern Scotland had mountains higher than Mount Everest. But through glacial expansion and contraction, the frozen water has basically destroyed it. I mean, you can see whole valleys gouged by glaciers as they've moved back north in Scotland and areas like that.
Another,
so water has a lot of power.
Another prime example of nature, man.
Yeah, I mean, we might be out of Dama Valley, but can we dig them?
I'm sure we can. Take us a while with a shovel.
Yeah, but nature's had tens of thousands of years to do that, I suppose. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as though they did it over a weekend bank holiday. You know, a few rednecks turned up with a pickup truck and some JCBs. I did see a series of Redneck Yacht Club stuff recently. That was quite funny. I think Muddy would have enjoyed it. The Redneck Yacht Club is basically a muddy pool.
Oh, sorry about that. You stopped talking on me. We got dead air.
It's your show, mate.
All right, well, you know, you've been listening to Shaziz Mad Science. We're coming down to the wire here. It's starting to look like we got about 10 minutes left, and then Beverly's Hope Show will be going on. So, with that said, everybody stay tuned, and try to get your friends. Come on over here, share on your Facebooks and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's about, you know, networking with one another and sharing these ideas, and that's what we do here, man. What more can I say than that? You know, we got to keep the ball rolling. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think I quite enjoy potting around in me garden with me headphones on, listening to Beverly's Hope Show.
Yeah, she put a lot of work into her shows, and she's a really wonderful lady, man. You know, show her your love. Say hi to her in the chat room and stuff like that. Right now, we pretty much got it set up, so we're in several different chat rooms at one time, so she'll type in. She's using my screen name and probably using my Skype, so if you need to call in or anything, just call directly to me, because, you know, we're working together as a team here. And so with that said, it's you know, that's how we're working it.
Well, from a man that knows hope, Beverly certainly has a lot of it.
Yeah, she's
there's
a
nobody that knows hope more than I do.
She's a wonderful, good-hearted lady, man. So anyway, I'm gonna throw up a video about bucket gardening, and I'm gonna try to get the video with Steve or Larry's little solar power deal he set up, and we'll take it from there and try to get some more informative videos up for you. So check out my YouTube on YouTube just /Shaziz, and then course, y'all know about Shazizz Radio, and if you're listening out there and you haven't showed up to ShazizzRadio.com or go over and check out the Scottish Sovereign site or Awake Radio and join in and say hi to those folks from all over the world, you know. It's a good thing we got going on here. It keeps the information flowing. You get the chance to meet some new friends. You know, I met Steve way back when we started on a different radio network, and him and I, we've been friends ever since. He's a wealth of knowledge, and you couldn't ask for a better friend. You know, we've got a lot of good people here, and I believe we got something good going on. What do you think, Steve?
Maybe I get frustrated a little bit sometimes, but I think my heart's in the right place.
Yeah, I know your heart's in the right place. Unless we're talking about working on websites, then you get a little wild.
I would rather not spend a half an hour of my life trying to explain to you why Microsoft's Internet Explorer is the big smoking pile of dung.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't care if Microsoft's spying on me. I don't care if the government's spying on me.
It doesn't matter if they're spying you or not. It's useless. It doesn't work properly. You don't go and try to drive a tractor with three wheels and wonder why you can't plow. You get one with four. But that's just my personal opinion.
Well, anyway.
Things seem to be coming along. I mean, the site's getting a little bit more content. It's getting a little bit more focused. People again to put their own stamp on it as well, which I think is important.
Yeah, for the host
out
there,
you need somewhere to say it.
For the host out there, take advantage of those podcast page and put your podcast up, for Pete's sake, so people can hear what you had to say, you know.
It's nice to be able to listen to it live, but sometimes there's ideas that are in a podcast that somebody will pick up on maybe a year later, maybe 10 years later.
Yeah.
But if the information isn't there, they can't use it.
So take advantage of the platform, get up there in the chat room, say hi to one another, and all that kind of stuff. And if you don't like our website, go over to Scottish Sovereigns and check out their website, or Awake Radio, or We Roar. There's so many different networks out there. If you happen to notice as you're looking through the site, there is a link in the host section that talks about other radio networks out there. So this isn't about just Shazizz Radio or Awake or We Roar or Scottish Sovereigns. It's about all these networks out there, people trying to put together something to benefit humanity. So, you know, you get every opinion as opposed to on the mainstream media, where you get a slanted opinion towards whoever, whichever radio or TV show you decide to drop in on. You're going to get a one-sided view, and we're not wanting you to get a one-sided view. We're wanting you to hear all different opinions and all different ideas, you know, and then you step back and look at the big picture, and using some common sense, form your own decision, and that's called thinking outside the box, and that's what we do here on these radio networks, is we think outside the box, and we don't always agree. But we agree to disagree in a respectful manner, and you know, we just don't tolerate people coming in giving us a rash. You heard that at the beginning there. Old Steve got a little riled.
If it's not a solution, then why say it? It's just a distraction.
Yeah, because we ain't got time to sit around and argue.
Ego is more important than anything.
We ain't got time to sit around and argue. We just gotta fix things. Otherwise, the world goes to heck in a handbasket, and I hope everybody out there agrees with me that, you know, I'm looking for a positive world. I don't want a negative world. And we can sit around and we can do one of two things. We can sit around and dwell over all the negative of the past and argue over who was right and who was wrong. Or we can take this massive network that we're putting together and all these tools that we have, access to technology and information and research, and we can do something about it. We can make it better. You know, we can plant the seed, and it may take years before the seed finally bears fruit from a big tree. But if we don't do it now, it ain't going to get done. So with that
saying that, Shazizz, when I was down in my local hydroponic shop, chatting away with one of the lads there, he gave me a bottle of hormone rooting powder. And it's called Clonex. I'm not recommending a product. I just wanted to say to the guy down in the row shop, thank you very much for this. And what I'm using it for is to take cuttings of fig trees. Because most of our gardens don't actually produce anything valuable for us to eat. My brother-in-law has just built himself a new house, and he's got about half an acre. So he's the perfect location for us to be able to stick a fig tree. And that means that within, say, 2 or 3 years' time, you're going to have an abundance of figs, which are very healthy to eat. And it's going to be a nice fruit for my nieces during the summer. I mean, well, how bad can that be? But, you know, when the guy gave it to me, I said, well, look, I'll clone a load of plants and I'll give them away. You can do it with tomato plants. Just basically take a cutting, dip it into this solution and stick it in soil. Stick it under a C5 strip for about 2 to 3 weeks and you should have a nice healthy set of roots. Simple as that.
Cool. Well, those are all great ideas, brother. We'll keep them flowing. And, you know, for those folks out there, the Knights of the Round Table is on tomorrow. I hope you all join me and come in and be part of the whole scene. So with that said, we got to get up out here and get ready for Beverly's Hope Show. Peace and love, everybody. Thanks, Steve.
Cheers, Liz.
Throughout humanity's existence on Earth, there have been rulers and there have been the slaves. Which line do you fall into? An easy question with a not so easy answer. The fact of the matter is that by merely being able to listen to the sound of my voice automatically puts you into what I call the real 1%. Nearly 7 billion souls on this tiny speck of sand in this universe, most of them, nearly 6.5 billion, try to scratch out a living on less than $2 per day. The disparity between the haves and have-nots is incredibly wide. Yet, you are the 1%. The 1% which has access to clean water, food, electricity, internet, education, the list goes on and on. Daily, we're conditioned to make money, pay our taxes, because it's patriotic. Buy things we really don't need and to teach our children to do the exact same thing. We live in a world where they're told our personal self-worth is measured by the money we have and the things we own. Sometimes not realizing we really don't own anything. After all, we can't take any of it with us when we leave this little speck of dust at the end of the day. We're made to believe that we are unfortunate to those who have more wealth than we do. We are made to believe that because of this disparity, we are the downtrodden, the disadvantaged, without ever looking at the full picture. We are tricked in divisiveness between left and right, between him and her, us and them, between black and white, where there really is no black and white, just many shades of gray. And yet we still run on a treadmill like the little rats in a cage. We wake up, we work, we pay tax, we go home, we buy stuff to fill an empty hole in our souls. And the cycle repeats. Instead of doing a more intelligent thing of downsizing, doing with less and helping fellow humanity, we keep running on the treadmill. Bigger houses, fancier cars, bigger TVs. The biggest step to finding a solution is to realize a problem exists. The next step comes from within. I'm Ken Anderson, and you've been listening to Shouted from the Moon. What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.